morning, guys. Like Jimmy said, we're just doing a series at the moment on worship. And really, we've looked already at how worship is a lifestyle. It's literally a way of being. It's when we come into agreement and in alignment with God and what he says, and we decide to really submit 24/7. Worship is really when the whole week we decide to agree with God. And we say yes, unconditionally. And today we're going to look at one aspect of it, which is we can offer ourselves as an act of worship, as a living sacrifice. And I'm going to look specifically at this passage. But first of all, something profoundly affected me a couple of weeks ago. I saw on TikTok, actually, there was a video of our Ukrainian brothers and sister. And they were, I don't know if you've seen that one, but they're literally in the middle of kind of rubbles. But they all decide to worship. But the way they were worshiping, you know, it was like, you know what, we're giving it to God. We give ourselves to God. We're going to trust him for who he is. I mean, and I'm not a Ukrainian that could just catch that one word was Slava. And it was the glory about the glory of God. And it really moved me to the core. Because I'm thinking, wow, these guys, they understand that, you know, for not only they trust in God for their future, they trust that they have this hope in them, but they're still offering themselves as an act of worship. And there was something so moving about that, you know, so moving. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we can't bother stirring ourselves because we had a bad week, you know what I mean? But actually this thing of, you know what, I am going to come to you, offer myself as a living sacrifice of worship. And this is what I'm looking at this morning. It's Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, you've got the verse just behind me, and I'm just going to start to read the first bit. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And really, in this verse, you can't beat the bush around, right? It's, we are the sacrifice. Amen. We are the living sacrifice. We offer all of ourselves, our lives, our thoughts, our action, our daily decision. We willingly give ourselves as an act of worship. And you know what? As I was preparing, something really hit me. Do you know, in the Old Testament, people to have a relationship with God were offering sacrifice, yes? They were offering lamb. And do you know why they were offering lamb? There was two reasons. The first reason for offering a sacrifice and a lamb was for the atonement, the forgiveness of their sins. That's the first reason why they were offering sacrifice. And the second reason in the Old Testament for offering sacrifice was often a celebration in memory of what God had done for them. You know, so, oh wow, you deliver us from Egypt. From now on, we're gonna, on that day, we are going to celebrate what you've done. So there was two types of sacrifice, okay? That's the Old Testament. Now, if you go in the New Testament, who is actually the lamb sacrificed once for all, for all the atonement of our sins? Who is that? Jesus. So Jesus in the New Testament is the sacrifice once for all for our sins. Now, who is actually the sacrifice for the celebration and the praise of God's glory? We are. Think about it. We are the living sacrifice of praise of God. We offer our lives, and our lives demonstrate the glory of God. They are praise and worship. Our lives is praise and worship to God. Amen. It's, people look at us and they should go, oh well, look at what God has done. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know? And then we're going into the second part here. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, and is good, and is good and pleasing and perfect will. You will be able to know it.
Amen.
And so you see, we offer ourselves as living sacrifice. That is really a posture that focuses on God. It's a bowing of the head, it's a humility, it's a willingness to let God do what he wants to do. It's a heart that focuses on him. It's actions that act as obedience to please him. It's really a posture 24/7, a posture, a decision to align ourselves, our mind, our action, our hearts with the one of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's really profound. And like Jamie said last week, when we do that, we focus on God. There is a departure from the all things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? So we literally, we offer ourselves as a sacrifice and we do not conform to the world.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And it's easier to not conform to the world if we have made the decision to offer ourselves.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? If we have a heart that says, yes, God, and we focus on nothing, we're looking there, we're not looking there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? This is those two things.
Amen.
Okay? And the guarantee thing is you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind then. Because it says here, in the verse, you could say, do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice here, okay? Notice here, he doesn't say, you will have to work really hard to be transformed. No, I think when you do those two things of focusing on God, giving yourself of God, to God, and then you do not conform, this comes with your salvation. You will be transformed with the renewing of your minds because you basically giving Holy Spirit the permission to work in you.
Amen.
That's what you're doing. So you're going to start to be transformed. And what's happening is when you are transformed, okay, you suddenly start to know and you get revelation of God's perfect will. Because you know him, you walk with him. You see how it works? Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think a lot of people want to know the will of God, but without being the living sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah? Oh, God, please let me know what I should be doing. Let me know where to go. What is my path? But then they're not giving themselves. So they don't know the will of God because they've not learned to be the living sacrifice.
Amen.
And this is the reality. We cannot know the will of God, perfect, pleasing there, if we are not the living sacrifice.
Amen.
If we've not decided to follow him. There's a process when we learn to be the living sacrifice. There's a process of grafting onto God. You know, it's like that John 15, you know, remain in me and I remain in you and I am the vine and you are the branches and, you know, we get grafted into God and then there's a lot of pruning. There is some processes that happen. We abide, we learn to abide and obey and we follow God and we become more and more like him.
Mm.
There is a process here. Okay. And if you hear the word sacrifice, I mean, let's not go around it. That means there is a bit of a cost. It's sacrifice by itself, it's ouch, you know? There will be a little ouch. It's going to cost me a little bit. It's going to cost me. But the promise, okay? That's where we've got to go. But the promise to know God is good and pleasing and perfect will.
Amen.
What is better than that?
Mm-hmm.
What is better than knowing a deep sense of satisfaction,
mm-hmm.
knowing who we are in God,
mm-hmm.
knowing who he is, knowing that he is good, he will never abandon us,
mm-hmm.
knowing that he's made us for a purpose, knowing that we are working, walking for his glory and being in his will.
Yeah.
What is better than that? To paraphrase Ephesians 1, verse 19, what is better than knowing the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparable power for us who believe. Nothing is better than that. Nothing is better than that. And so that's the journey we are embarking on. Okay? That yes, we are offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Sometimes it might be difficult. It means daily choices.
Yeah.
Daily choices. I will do this, not that. I will watch this, not that. I will, you know, daily choices that, you know, and with this heart of pleasing God, you know. So let me just change my slide. Okay, that's gone too far. Here we go. So we have in Genesis 22 the most remarkable story where it is written that God tested Abraham. Okay? And it's the story where God basically came to Abraham and he called him the Abraham. And Abraham replied, Hineni in Hebrew, here I am, here I am. And God tells him, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, take him up the mountain and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And basically he says, stay there and wait for what I'm going to tell you. And the story goes that, Abraham goes up the mountain, take his son. And basically, his son is on the altar, and he's waiting for God's order. He's like ready to sacrifice his son. But just before he does it, the angel of the Lord calls out again, Abraham, Abraham! And he replies again, Hineni, here I am. And then the angel of the Lord tells him, don't do it. Don't harm your son. And he provides the lamb, and he blesses Abraham, and he says something like, you know, your descendant, all the nation are going to be blessed through you because you just show your obedience and your reverence, your fear to me. Okay. You see this word, here I am, ineni, in Hebrew. That's exactly what a heart of worship is. Ineni, here I am, translated in English, here I am. It's not about the location. It's not like, you know, Abraham, well, okay, you call me, here I am, I'm on the right location. This is not cutting it, that's translation. Actually, Hineni in Hebrew, it's a declaration of availability and readiness. And it expresses a humility and a willingness to serve, listen, and obey. So when Abraham said, Hineni, it's like, God, yeah, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm available.
Amen.
So before you even ask, my answer is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's literally like having a blank page and say to God, here's my life.
Beautiful.
Do whatever you want and sign at the bottom. I think I actually made one. Dear Heavenly Father, for all the things you have prepared for me in advance, I trust your everlasting love and grace. Here I am. That's where you are. I've done this when I in my early 20s. That changed my life forever. Never had the same relationship with God, ever. It's totally a shifting of my mind, you know. That here I am. That here I am. You see, Abraham had no idea what God was going to request of him at that point. Think about it, that's mad. He'd just say, Hineni, here I am. And God knew it was a big demand because even the way he formulated it, he said, your only son who you love, whom you love. So God knew he was asking something big. He knew there was quite a big ask. But guess what? Who actually sacrificed his only son whom he loved? Who really did it? The Father. The Father did. He did. So this here I am, there's something important on him. I was thinking as well when I was preparing, I was thinking about the rich young ruler in the New Testament. You know, you find it in every epistle, that story. The Bible says Jesus loved him. He loved him. This young guy who knew all the common money was trying to live a really good life. And the Bible said Jesus loved him. And Jesus said to him, you know, we have to be careful about how we read the voice of Jesus. I'm sure he said it quite nicely because he says Jesus loved him. And he says, one thing you like, sell all your possession and follow me and you will receive treasure in heaven. I believe that's a little bit the same than Abraham's story there in the New Testament. Jesus was testing him a little bit there. He was testing him. He was saying, in effect, are you prepared to offer yourself and follow me by letting go of what's precious to you? That's what he was saying. Do you love me enough? Do you love me enough to respond with your heart? Here I am. Everything I am. Everything I have. In that sense, it was everything I have in this particular occasion. Everything I hold precious is yours. He was asking him to be the living sacrifice. And sadly, the young ruler couldn't. He couldn't give it up, you know? He couldn't do that Abraham thing of, okay, God, here I am. Here they are for you. This here I am. It appears in so many significant moments in the Bible. Actually, 6 times precisely. I've looked them up. And basically, so you've got Abraham. We just talked about it. But you also have Jacob, when God comes in a dream and speak to him about what he's going to do next. Jacob respond, here I am. And there's Moses and the burnished bush in Exodus 3. And there's, you know, that's probably that story really well. Young Samuel, you know, who say, here I am. And then there's Isaiah the prophet who is, here I am, send me, you know. And then you've got Ananias in the New Testament who basically is told to go and lay hand on Saul, the future apostle, Paul, you know. And he needed a bit of a courage for that, because as we know, Saul was a murderer of Christian. And Ananias say, here I am. Here I am, send me. So we've got a lot of different types of people for different types of mission, big or small, and they made themselves available to God, you know, to serve, to listen, and to obey. That's what it was, that hinani. Here I am. Here I am. So to come back to what we're talking about, worship. Worship is offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Yeah. So I think it's really about making a daily choice of dedicating every part of our lives. I mean, the reality is we know we are on a journey, right? Mm-hmm. We're on a journey. There's part of our life who is not God-pleasing, but we don't even know yet. We need Holy Spirit to point a finger and say, what about here? We have to be honest. No, we're not perfect. We're not Jesus. But we are on a journey to be more and more like him. But what we do is that posture of saying, here I am. I'm following you, I'm giving you my life, I'm dedicating my life to you. You can have it all. We just sung it. You can have it all. You can have it all. I know there are parts of me that need changing. There are parts of me that have been hurt by the past. I know that some aspect of my life is hindered by some stuff, but you can have it all. I give it to your Jesus. That's the first thing that is really important. Amen. I think the second thing I would like to say is that that worship attitude, it's an act of thanksgiving and it's a celebration of God's grace and mercy. You know, the only response to God's grace is that. It's his only response is to say, okay, I am going to decide that I will celebrate your grace and mercy all the days of my life for what you have done. It's an ongoing, it's not lip servicing, it's not a ritual, it's not, now I'm going to decide every day I am going to read, hold on. Would 5 verses of the Bible be enough? Would 10 minutes of prayer be enough? No, it's not that. It's a heart attitude of the heart to say, look, my whole lifestyle I give to you. I devote myself to you. And yes, by the way, we do want to read the Bible. And we do want to pray. Because the more we do that as a discipline, the more we will grow.
Amen.
You know, we will know the word of God. We
Amen.
Won't be fooled by other, you know,
Amen.
Cultural things. Because we will know the word of God. So all of these things are super important. They are our base. But it is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart most of all. That would really affect all your daily decisions. I think as well that in there, there's a Holy Spirit process. There's a Holy Spirit process in this. Because you see, it's like I was saying, you give, when you say, okay, have it all, I choose this, you are giving the permission to Holy Spirit to come and change you and renew your mind. You're partnering with God to be transformed in your mind. So what kicks in is sanctification. If you don't know that word, sanctification, it's just the process to become more and more like Jesus. That's what sanctification means. More and more like Jesus. Not like the word, like Jesus. Okay? So this transformation, this Holy Spirit transformation, okay, what's going to happen is all our actions, all our character will align more and more and more to the will and the character of Jesus. Not only are we going to be more and more lacking, but more and more we want to do his will, because that would be the very nature of who we are, our Christians. Okay, we are new creation in Jesus. We are new creation. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So we should, you know what I mean? We're getting transformed and we are more and more like God for his glory. And what's happening as well is when we say, God, here I am, I'm the living sacrifice. We are becoming the vehicle, do I pronounce that right? Vehicle. Translate in your mind. If it's the wrong accent, it's all right. You got it? The car of God's work and glory. We are
Amen.
Becoming the vehicle of God's work Amen. And his glory.
Amen.
That's what we are becoming.
Amen.
That's what we're saying. It's really profound. We are the sacrifice of praise. The work of God is workmanship. There's many verses, right? I could quote you hundreds of verses in the New. We're becoming the one who are displaying the glory of Jesus. We will display his love. We will display his glory, the hope. You know, when we will interact with people, we say, oh, this person is very different. How come they have so much grace and mercy and love? And how come they feel so holy? And we display his grace and mercy and glory. Now, I would like to finish on this note. You know, at the beginning of this passage, Paul says, I urge you to offer your body as living sacrifice. It's interesting because you see, no one can force you to do the offering. That's why he said, I urge you. He kind of said, I'm telling you, it's very important. You've got to do the doing. That's what he's saying. No one can force you to do the offering. But what it's very clear in the Bible, and you could read that for yourself in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, the therefore are very important in the Bible. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I'm going to read that again. Do you know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit? Whom is in you is in there. Whom you have received, it's already happened. You are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought at a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. But he still says, therefore, honor God with your body. Still make that decision of honoring God with your body. So you see, we belong to God. We have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He rescued us from the darkness, from the kingdom of the darkness to the kingdom of the light. Okay? He is our Savior and our King and our Lord of all. But our God is so good. He doesn't enslave us and control us and force us. He doesn't go, excuse me, if you are not doing X, Y, and Z, you know? If you are not doing that, okay, see your salvation there. You see it? You see it, your salvation there? No, he's not doing anything of that. He's actually so good. You know, where the Holy Spirit is, there is
freedom.
Okay, so he's so good. He's redeemed us for freedom. He's counting on us, son and daughter, to love him, to do things out of love. Okay? So even if we belong to him, he owns us. He could go, I am the Lord Almighty. He could go like this, but he chooses to not to. He's counting on us to honor him because he knows that he loved us first. He's hoping that we're going to love him back. That's basically it. He loved us first. Are we going to love him back? Are we going to decide to honor him as an act of thanksgiving? No one can force you to do the offering. See, we are responsible for the way we're going to manage our lives. We are responsible for the way we're going to steward our time, our talents, our bodies, our lifestyle. We are making the choice. How are we going to honor him? We have the choice. How are we going to honor him? No one can force us. No one can force us. So you see, this morning, I just want to encourage you to remember that, yeah, our lives, you know, it's not our own. It's not our own. And to finish, I just want maybe to be 1 minute quiet, because I think I can't make you. There's nothing I can do. But I thought I'd just draw this letter. So just want to say, well, are you just a call to say, are you prepared to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Are you happy to have a kind of in your mind a letter? I say, look, I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice of worship. Whatever comes next, Lord, I am yours. I am available. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to obey your voice in every part of my life. And through my daily chores, just show me. Show me. Show me. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. You see? Yeah, I'm going to say it. You can have the biblical knowledge that would fill all the libraries of the world. You can have that, okay? If you study hard enough. You can have the biblical knowledge, you know? Or know all the Hebrew and the Greek and know the Bible backhand. But if in your heart you do not have the hineni, here I am, Lord, how are you going to be transformed? How is the God Almighty going to get the permission to come and change you from within? am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I am the offering. I am. And you know what? It's important not only for us, so that we will know the perfect, pleasing will of God, but it's important for the world as well. Because we are on a mission to glorify Him. We are on a mission to glorify Him. How are we going to do that if we haven't responded and say, God, here I am, do what you please. Here I am as a sacrifice. I will lay down my life. Well, that was in that song again, Jesus said it all. I'm going to lay down my life. Here I am. But the promise is there. You will know His perfect will. You will know His perfect will. You see, today I'm talking about that, but we could go on to the extreme joy and pleasure that we have walking with Him.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
There is a lot of amazing things that comes with serving God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, so I just want to finish there. And I know that I've just written as a letter like that, but I think maybe the only appropriate response would be to just take 1 or 2 minutes, and in our hearts we could talk to God. It's your choice. Whatever, you can talk to Him. You could say things like, "Ah, I'm just aware that in my life this is more important than you. I don't know how I'm going to do this, God, but I want to give it to you." Yeah? You know, like Abraham, sometimes very good things is more important to God. Like, you know, my children are very important to me. Very important. But how can I absolutely love them but still put God first? That's very simple. I need to give them to God, trust Him that He loves them even more than I do. And you could go through every areas of your life and say, if they matter more than God, and you can give them and say, but God, my career is pretty important, and I have projects, and I've got dreams, and they're really important. Well, do you know what? Yes, they do, and they matter to God. They matter to God. But we could say, okay, God, I decide I will give them to you, because I know that your will is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you want the good for those who love you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have more resources than I have. You know the future. You open doors. I'm going to trust you. So I just want you to have an opportunity to just stay a little bit in the moment and talk to God in your mind, or, you know, whatever you want to do it. Talk to God in your mind. And if there's anything, you know, that I've been speaking about will just resound, just do dealing with God now. Don't wait this afternoon, because you know what? You won't even remember.